Welcome to Session 3, Designing Strategies for 21st Century Evangelization and Faith Formation. My name is John Roberto, and in this session, we're going to look at how to move from interpreting the needs of people into actually designing strategies that you can use in your parish community for evangelization and faith formation. Next slide. This is Session 3 in our program. In the first two, we looked at understanding the changing landscape and how to interpret the diversity of religious and spiritual needs today. We'll use the four scenario concept in Session 3 as we design strategies for a particular group using the four scenarios as our planning tool. In Session 4, we'll talk about how we'll pull it all together in terms of making 21st century evangelization and faith formation a reality. Next slide. At the end of Session 2, I looked at families with young children as a target audience, and how the four scenario tool could be used not only to interpret their religious and spiritual needs, but also in terms of planning and developing strategies. As we looked at that, we saw that some strategies were unique to each of the four scenarios, and some strategies worked across the four scenarios. In Session 3, I'm going to suggest a process that you can use in your parish community to move from needs towards strategies, just like we did in this example. Next slide. The design process includes six steps. First begins by selecting a target audience, a focus for your efforts. Rather than looking at the entire parish community, we're going to select a target group and the particular religious and spiritual needs that they have. Second, we'll research that target group in two ways. One, to determine what your parish community is already doing with that group. And then secondly, to interview or do focus groups with people in your target group to learn more about their religious and spiritual needs. In step three, we'll generate and select strategies based on what we learned from our research. And then step four, designing implementation plan, the who, what, when, how, where steps of moving from ideas into action. And in step five, instead of trying to introduce the new strategies to the entire target group, how to pilot the strategies with small subgroups that you can learn from, evaluate with, and use that group as kind of your test group for your strategies so that you'll be able then to evaluate, modify, and expand those strategies to reach your entire group. Oftentimes, we move right from designing to trying to reach our whole audience. In this example, I want to share with you, I think piloting the strategies so that we can learn from the people who are using those strategies so that we can learn how then to scale that up and reach our wider audience is the process that I'll suggest. Next slide. Selecting a target audience, here are just eight suggestions. There are subgroups under each of those, but your first step is to target a particular audience and then to learn about them and develop strategies around them. Next slide. We're going to view the target audience of the four scenarios, just as we suggested in session number two, and we'll both interpret what we're doing as a parish community in the four scenarios. We'll interpret the religious and spiritual needs in the four scenarios, and then we'll develop strategies in all four scenarios for our target audience. In step two, you're going to research your target audience. Next slide. Step two is research your target audience. And here we're going to look and develop first by developing a parish assessment. What is your parish currently doing to foster discipleship and faith growth with your target audience? And then using the four scenarios as an interpretive tool, you'll be able to identify how your parish is currently reaching, connecting with, engaging, or involving your target audience. Identify all the programs, activities, initiatives, and all the resources directed to your target audience. And once you've done that, you'll be able then to discuss where are the strengths of our current efforts, where are we putting most of our time and energy, where are we most effective, and then what are the areas for growth and improvement? What areas are we not addressing well? What areas are we not directing our attention in terms of programs, activities, resources? The simplest way to develop this is simply to get a newsprint sheet, divide into the four scenarios, and begin to list each of the programs, initiatives, activities, resources directed to each of the scenarios. What becomes clear when you do this is that you'll immediately see where the gaps are. You'll see where your strengths are, where you're most effective, and where you really have areas that are needed in growth and development. Next slide. The second part of your research is to interview or conduct focus groups with your target audience. Interviews are usually just one-on-one or one to two people. Focus groups would be 8 to 12 people. I prefer focus groups because for the time and effort, you're able to listen to a wider audience of people. And so take your target audience, identify several focus groups that you want to develop. In other words, what are three or four times and places you want to invite your target audience for about a 30 to 45 minute focus group. You'll have two people who will do the interviewing, one a recorder and one the questioner. Even though both people can certainly ask questions, it's helpful to have one person primarily focused on recording people's responses and one on leading the questions. Focus groups should be 8 to 12 people. The goal there is, especially moving towards 12, anything over 12 is a little bit too large. Everybody won't get a chance to talk. But under 8, if a couple of people don't come, it becomes a pretty small group. So take your target audience, offer different times to meet at church and not at church, because some of the folks you'd like to identify that you'd like to interview will be people who may not be regular participants at Sunday worship, may not be involved in church life. So we want to offer them different opportunities for being able to be part of a focus group. And some of the key people on your team, people who are already engaged in parish life, will know people that they can invite who are not engaged. And so you can get a pretty diverse focus group by simply utilizing the people that everybody knows and inviting them. Again, 8 to 12 people. Try to allot 45 minutes. That'll give you plenty of time. Serve some good refreshments. And then use these 10 questions as a guide. And I try to blend in these 10 questions both personal questions in the first person and then age group questions, kind of third-person questions. And if you can, move from third-person questions where people are talking about their age group towards more first-person questions when they're talking about their own personal life. And so you'll see the first couple focus on life tasks. You'll see as it moves then to meaningful experiences, to relationship with God. Next slide. And then significant spiritual issues in that age group. And then you definitely want to ask question number 10, and that's how the church can help you to continue growing as a Christian. For some, it may be restarting that journey. For some, it may be the next steps on their journey. And asking people to be specific. Name some of the things they would like to see your church offer for that age group. So revise these, modify these, but these 10 give you a good starting point for developing the questions for your focus groups. After you've compiled all the results from your focus groups, you'll notice themes that will emerge from all the questions. So it's important everybody ask the same questions. When you sit down together, you'll compile the responses to the 10 questions, and then you'll be able to identify common themes or needs that have emerged. Those become the basis for our next step. You'll also want to research not just your target audience, but you can also want to research, next slide. In addition to researching your target audience, you're going to want to research, generate, and select strategies for your target needs. And so one of the first things that I would recommend doing is just researching what's already going on. And so I'll give three basic strategies here. I'll give you some examples. Utilize your current contact points with your target audience. Oftentimes we say, well, we have no contact with people in their 20s and 30s, or we never see young families. But that isn't quite true, because sometimes in sacramental celebrations and milestones, in service and mission projects, in programs and activities, for example, Vacation Bible School, we see all people from all four scenarios present. And so we have a lot of those current contact points. We don't tend to think of them as opportunities for evangelization and faith formation. Second thing I recommend is to consult what effective churches are already doing, both Catholic and Protestant, and study their best practices. I'll give you a couple of examples of that in a minute. And then third, to consult strategies at faithformation2020.net. I've collected a variety of strategies. One of the menu items says strategies. So just do some research before you begin generating your own ideas. What points of contact do we already have? What are churches already doing? And then what strategies have already been compiled for you, like at faithformation2020.net. Next slide. Here's an example of contact points. We have contact points with people and really in all the sacraments. And the example I'm sharing here could easily be replicated for baptism, First Eucharist, and confirmation. The faith formation happens before marriage, preparation for and the celebration of marriage, and faith formation after marriage. I pick on marriage because there's such a limited amount of faith formation that happens before marriage, which is a contact point and an opportunity to rebuild relationships, oftentimes with people who have not been engaged for many, many years. And we do very little after the celebration of marriage to build on the marriage celebration and to extend evangelization and faith formation efforts into people's daily lives. Next slide. So one of the ways to envision this is to think about what can happen before marriage, what we can do in the area of faith formation. Can we help people discern their spiritual needs? Can we help them discern where they are in their walk with God? Can we help them develop a faith growth plan to begin that process? Can we look at our marriage preparation, whether it's online or it's a program, as another opportunity to build relationships, as well as to utilize that preparation process as a way to discern their spiritual needs and to help them grow? What would it be like if each of those people preparing to be married had a mentor, a mentor couple, perhaps a married couple in the baby boomer years, who would walk with them throughout the process before, during, and after marriage? Support groups of newly married couples and online marriage resources. There are wonderful online marriage resources that's available. The United States Catholic Conference of Bishops has a wonderful website on marriage, as do many dioceses across the country. Next slide. And what would we do after marriage? Again, mentors provide us with a wonderful opportunity to continue walking with them in their journey, to be able to help a new family, married couple, start with faith practices to start their new family together, prayer and rituals, Bible reading, service, faith conversations, to provide faith enrichment for them in person, gathered programs, at church, online, small groups, large groups. We have all kinds of opportunities today because the resources are in abundance. Helping them with married life tasks and issues, courses, workshops, and online resources as they work through those first 3 to 5 years of marriage, which are so critical. Providing support groups via social media or small groups throughout the parish community or in the wider community that can connect married couples. And then perhaps quarterly gathering them. And so thinking about before and after marriage as a contact point. For some, it will be continuing their faith growth. Some will be restarting that faith growth, and some will be rediscovering faith. I think we have an opportunity in every contact point, especially around sacraments, marriage, baptism, First Eucharist, confirmation, to really develop a comprehensive approach to evangelization and faith formation across all 4 scenarios. Next slide. Another contact point are the programs we do. I mentioned Vacation Bible School a moment ago. Vacation Bible School has families with children in all 4 scenarios. But oftentimes we do very little after Vacation Bible School has ended to stay in contact and relationship with those people. And I think this is an opportunity where we can ask ourselves, how do we extend Vacation Bible School throughout the whole year? Because some people, some families in scenario 2 and 3, they're only contact with church, maybe Vacation Bible School. And so what can we do to continue to follow up with them? Things that they can talk about, things they can learn about, things they can live at home, things they can pray, ways they can share, and then tailoring those to the 4 scenarios so that there's a variety of things to talk about, variety of things to learn, variety of things to do as a family, variety of ways to pray or engage in the spiritual life, variety of ways to share so it addresses all 4 scenarios. So again, we have contact points, but we often don't think about utilizing those to address the needs of all 4 scenarios. Next slide. We should research what other churches are doing. Our Lady of Soledad Parish in California visited Saddleback Church, where Rick Warren is, and looked at their new member process. How did they move people from just, in a sense, just being a participant into being an active member of the community? And they went back home, and they said, how can we use that process in our Catholic parish? And they created a series of mini retreats, extended Sunday programs, sometimes evening programs, that were designed to guide people through a process of becoming more fully alive as a Catholic, more engaged in their community, and to utilize those gifts. And so they set up a program where retreat number one focused on what it meant to be a follower of Christ, number two, how to mature in the Catholic faith, number three, 301, how to discern how to serve God in ministry, 401, how to live as a witness for Christ, and 501, how to worship with us. And so it was a process of really reintroducing Catholicism to people. And they really borrowed the process directly from Saddleback Church and brought it into the Catholic world. Another example of a process that can easily be adapted, Unbinding the Gospel by Martha Grace Rees, is a process that she researched and developed and has worked with in 10,000 plus Protestant churches across the United States. And it basically divides into two parts: preparing people for evangelization and invitation to small group experience. And the way to imagine this is gathering a group of people. I was with one church where they had gathered 100 people that they were going to prepare for the work of evangelization. And they went through a six-week small group experience. They prayed each day's scripture and a prayer exercise. They worked with a prayer partner. They were organized in small groups. They studied a chapter of the book, all to build their confidence and their competence in being able to share their faith and their faith story with someone else. At the end of that, they were asked to invite one person that they knew, a family member, a friend, a colleague, into a no-obligation experience of spiritual discussion, prayer, and community. And that was the invitation to a small group experience. And the goal was to focus on people who weren't connected with the church and invite them to try out the church for 4 weeks. So church members invited their friends into a four-week small group experience with short study chapters, an individual prayer journal, prayer partner activities, and group exercises, culminating in that person, the mentor, if you will, bringing the new person to Sunday worship and to other church activities as part of the try it, you might like it experience. And this is the goal here was simply that you would develop the competence and confidence of members of the community to be able to share what all the beauty and all the benefits they found in being a member of that community with one other person. And this structure provided a way to do that. So when we research other churches, we find really wonderful opportunities and experiences that we can build on. A third example is out in the community. This example is called the Wesley Playhouse. It's based on the Fresh Expressions Project of the Anglican Church in the United Kingdom. And this was a Methodist church that was down to 10 or 20 members. And they repurposed themselves as a community-wide center around children, teens, and families. They developed an early childhood program, after-school program, family programs. They serve somewhere near 5,000 people every month and have become the center of the whole community. They still worship. They have a worship space. But as you see, they've recreated the larger proportion of their space for the family center, the Wesley Playhouse. And again, they are now a huge presence in the life of the community, if you will, a third place setting in the life of the community where people come for a safe, secure environment, value-laden programs, and many are being drawn back, if you will, into Sunday worship in the life of the church community because of the outreach to the wider community. So when we research other communities, we find this wonderful example of a great activity, a great model for scenario two and three outreach to people who are not engaged in church life. Once we've done that research, both in terms of our people, what other churches are doing, we can then generate and select strategies. I like to use mind mapping. So this is step three. Mind mapping is a simple process. And as you see on this slide, this is a slide on how to mind map. So in the center of our mind map are the people, our target audience. And as you'll see in a minute, the branches off of that will be each of the four scenarios. And then the branches off of those main branches will be their ideas and strategies that we're generating to reach those. So we'll take our ideas, we'll take our research, and we'll put those into a mind map that gives us kind of a picture of all the possibilities that we can use. So in the middle, put your target audience. Your big trunks, so to speak, the biggest branches will be the four scenarios. And the branches coming off those will be simply ideas that you'll be able to strategies in order, based on your research, that you'll be able to use to create your plan. Here's one example of a mind map. This was a group I was working with that was looking at Sunday morning worship. And their big trunks, if you will, were sermon, music, prayer, stewardship, reading of the word, and fellowship community. and then lots of ideas generated off of that. So the ideas that generated off of that are all post-it notes, and I'll recommend you use post-it notes because you move them around really easily. And they developed a mind map, literally a plan, a strategy plan that they could now select ideas from. Next slide. So here's my suggestion: a large sheet of newsprint, your target audience in the middle, your four scenarios become the four big circles, and then off of those scenarios, using post-it notes, you can develop all kinds of ways that you want to use to address the needs of each of those groups. Scenario 1, 2, 3, and 4 around your target audience. And again, refer back to the research you did based on your focus groups and your interviews, the research you did with other churches. What ideas do you have for growing disciples in each of those four scenarios? Next slide. In step 4, you'll design an implementation plan. You'll look at the ideas and say, when will we launch our strategies? And obviously, out of all the strategies, you select the ones that you want to focus on. But the key is to try to select strategies in each of the scenarios that you want to launch, because a true pilot would allow you to do multiple strategies, as we saw in the family example. Families with children, we had lots of examples there of strategies in all four scenarios. So which strategies will you want to launch, and when will you launch those? And then what are the steps for implementing the strategies, your timeline, your resources, the cost involved, and the leaders that you'll need? Once you've done that, you're ready for the pilot phase. Next slide. Piloting the strategies around your particular group of people, it's just a matter of selecting small subgroups from your target audience. So if I was working with families with young children, I might target group right after baptism and try strategies with them. I might try strategies around families who have participated in Vacation Bible School, or families participating in First Eucharist preparation. Or I might target strategies around particular groups of people who are engaged in another activity, or take a random group. Stop. Start again. The last part of our process, the design process, is to look at how to pilot the strategies you've created and selected. And here we're going to take subgroups of people engaged in our target audience. So again, if it was families with children, the families with children, we could break out into families around baptism, First Eucharist, children and families participating in religious education programs, families who are participating in Vacation Bible School, and all I need is subgroups of those to try my strategy. I don't need to reach all the families who are participating in religious education programs. Just a small sector of those would allow me to find out how the strategy works. So pilot your strategy with a small subgroup of the audience that you're trying to reach. Then evaluate, and over time, you'll be able to evaluate and modify and expand the strategy. So set a timeline for the implementation. So at a particular point, you'll say, we'll begin this, and then we'll monitor over the next month or 2 months, and we'll get feedback on how people are implementing this or using this in their lives. We'll evaluate it and then modify and expand the strategy and reach out to a wider audience. So starting with a small group of families with children, for example, allows me to learn from them, and then I can expand that across. So maybe the fall season, I do piloting, and I can launch something in the winter or spring season to a wider audience. So our process started with selecting a target group, researching the group, generating strategies, and selecting strategies, then designing an implementation plan that we will use with a small audience of people. So we pilot our strategies with small audiences, so different strategies for different audiences, but in a pilot model. Once we've learned from that, we can expand and modify and expand those strategies to reach wider audiences. In session 4, we'll look how to pull the whole plan together, how to move from the design phase to see what the whole thing looks like, especially being able to use not only our gathered methods and models, but also to use online models. Thank you.